Welcome to Ideas of the Last Nation on a fucking ukulele.
We should say that not every time now we're going to have a different like instrument for...
You've not seen the harmonium.
There's a harmonium, really?
No, that's... I made up a word then. I meant to say melodica.
I love how I went, there's a harmonium. That well-known instrument. I love a harmonium. I love a good harmonium. Sorry. I'm all harmonium. Sorry. This, harmonium that. I don't know what the fuck a harmonium is.
Melodica. There's a melodica down here. Oh. Piano that you're blowing.
I'm not said to a bishop. So, okay, well, maybe we can try that out next time. Yeah. Harmonium.
Oh, hello.
What were you trying to say?
I was trying to say harmonium.
Harmonium.
But that's the wrong thing. And I also tried to say melodica, which is where the B came from, which is what it actually is. And I just sort of said harmonium.
Just says how gullible.
And then, I just love that. Yeah, you just blithely gave in to my assumed greater yeah. knowledge of musical instruments.
Well, there is though, because I know nothing about instruments.
And apparently, me neither.
Okay, we haven't done the introduction yet.
No, hello and welcome to Ideas of the Last Nation. I'm Paddy Garrigan.
And I'm Matt Bell.
And we find ourselves in a different room in my house.
Yeah, we're doing like a mini tour.
Lads on tour.
This is our tour of the podcast, you know that.
Yeah.
We've done
a pub, a living room.
Yep.
And now your spare bedroom.
Yeah, that was
unbroadcast.
Yes.
And lost forever. Mm. And then now my bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. And we're getting even though it's our own tour for two people, we're going in smaller venues.
Yeah, I'm clearly going more insane. So we're getting some more madness, delving into the madness.
Yeah.
Right, as you will have, if you've listened to the last show, the news up top, sorry. If you would like to send us an email, you may do so, mattandpaddy@gmail.com. That is the correct email address, we've double checked it.
It is.
Thank you very much to Mr. Alex Rushforth.
Yes.
For sending us an email 7 months ago. Which was going to... Now... We're very sorry, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
We clearly had a conversation with you at some point about the film Battleship
mm-hmm.
that came out earlier this year.
Yes.
And so in the email, Alex said very nice things about the podcast and also
Thank
sent
you.
A link to Matt to the trailer for the film Battleship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, neither Matt nor I recall the conversation.
Nope.
Or if it happened on the podcast, maybe.
Yeah.
And you've replied to that. Either way, thank you very much for being involved.
Yeah. We promise we'll make it so it's a bit more interactive next time.
Yeah.
Have you seen Battleship?
I've not
it's
seen
it. It's a fucking awful
Yeah,
film.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I fell asleep in the cinema because of it.
It's that good.
It's really that
very
bad.
Good. Yeah. Thanks a lot, fucking Alex. sending Matt to see Battleship.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, sorry, I was going to say, during the last podcast, I inadvisedly, threw the remaining subjects into the Hurley my acoustic guitar,
yep.
which Matt just had to shake pre-recording to get them out.
Yep. We do have one.
Would you like to know what it is? Yeah. As Matt looks at that...
It's another one of mine.
As Matt looks at that, I just want to do a little disclaimer up top. We apologise. We just listened back to the previous podcast. It's a little bit echoey.
Mm.
We apologise for that. Hopefully this will sound better.
I don't think people will give a shit.
No, okay, right.
No, I think it's just you.
Just me?
Yeah.
Is it literally just me?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the best it's ever sounded. Matt, what subject do you hold in your hand?
London 2012. That was my topic. I'm tempted to go for another one because we haven't had any of yours yet. And I seem to recall, whenever we've done this, it always ends up being my topics that come out.
It really does. Shake the guitar.
Right.
Get another one out.
Right,
so London 2012 is our fallback. Sorry, just smashing the guitar. It's all right, it sounds better with a few bashes. There's three out now.
Right,
Shall I pick one of those three?
Yeah.
Then it's like you put that one back in.
Well, there's element of danger.
Right, I happen to know that this is one of mine. I remember
good.
This folding.
Right, finally.
But it could be the awful one. Oh! Ooh! Ooh, I always have interesting words.
So gay.
As you seem to recall, that I once had the sun as a topic. I have this one. Have you just opened what the other ones
yeah.
were? Just out of interest.
I'm just looking through them.
All right, what were the others? What could we
Food!
Have had? Was that me?
Yeah.
All right.
Then we had London 2012, and then the final one, I think, was another one of mine, believe it or not. No, it was one of yours. It was art! That was the other one.
In capitals with an exclamation mark,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
Well, what we've got is one of mine. Yeah, good. So art.
What's yours again?
So art.
What was art?
Yeah.
No, what was yours?
This is revivals.
Revivals.
Because I couldn't.
Wow.
Right. I need to explain it. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better word. Comebacks would maybe have been a better word.
Okay.
But they're everywhere at the fucking moment.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to pick a few apart.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm honest with you.
That's fine.
Okay.
I maybe have some bias towards it because actually one of the comeback/revivals I'm going to of one of my favourite bands ever, who have got back together to celebrate a 10-year anniversary of their debut album, which is also the name of our podcast, Ideas Above Our Station, and they're doing a gig in Manchester and London. I'm going to both. And that's very much a sort of on the Revival bandwagon.
Have they done anything yet with the Revival? Have they put a song out? Have they done any gigs?
They've done a few festival gigs.
Good, bad?
I don't know. I saw a few videos and stuff, but they're very, very small venues and small festivals and things.
But you're super excited, I'm guessing.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, they got moved from... They're meant to be in the Academy 2 in Manchester, got sold out, so they moved up to Academy 1 and completely sold out. So it's going to be amazing. I can't wait, because it's my favourite band again. It's been about 2 years since I last saw them, so I can't wait.
Cool.
But
I've got an excited one as well. Before we think that a lot of shit, which I think is maybe where we're headed.
Maybe.
That there's some crap out there. Benfold 5.
Okay.
I'm off to see in Leeds, who have...
Does that count, though? Because Benfold still does perform.
Yeah, he's had solo albums, but it's the band that his first band, not his first band, but Benfold's Five haven't recorded or performed for 14 years, 12 years as a band.
Okay.
And their new album that is not out now, but I think you can listen to most of it, like you can stream it online, is really good.
Okay.
And the video for the lead single called Do It Anyway stars Rob Corddry, Anna Kendrick, and the Fraggles of Fraggle Rock.
Nice.
It's a really great little music video if you get a chance to see it. Mainly because at the end of it, the video finishes, and then Benfold's and his two... which is the Benfold's Five, and Rob Corddry and Anna Kendrick, and the Fraggles, sing the theme tune to Fraggle Rock that Benfold plays on the piano. So, down at Fraggle Rock.
Oh, nice.
That's the wrong lyric. How's that go?
I don't know Fraggle Rock.
Dance your cares away. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Down at Fraggle Rock.
I don't know Fraggle Rock.
Oh, there you go. It was another Jim Henson, like Sesame Street or the Muppets.
Oh, Puppets.
It was Jim Henson, but for a little bit younger audience.
Oh, okay.
No, a little bit... No, not younger. Not younger than Sesame Street, a little bit younger than Muppets.
Right.
But it was another, they were based in caves and stuff.
Oh.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Good.
But anyway.
Yeah.
The Benfold's Five reunion, I'm very much looking forward to seeing in Leeds on the 1st of December. So it's a long way away, but I'm really excited about it.
There's quite a lot going on. The main one I can think of is obviously like the Stone Roses. Now, you can question whether or not they'd be any good or not, but part of me would really like to, would wish to have gone to see them, mainly so I can say that I've seen the Stone Roses.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing for a lot of... That's a lot of these things. Obviously, we're doing music at the moment. I'm sure we'll move on to things, but music, yeah. When I saw... Sorry, not a Stone Roses fan, so I'm not particularly interested. But I can understand that
A
fan. Because when I saw Rage Against the Machine at Leeds Festival, 2008 or something.
Yeah.
And so they hadn't performed live. It was a reunion. They hadn't played for 7 or 8 years as a band. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think there can be something brilliant in that. You know, I think... It's although it's probably not been long enough yet to assume that Oasis are going to do it. Well, I assume they're going to do it at some point.
They must, but they're bound to at some point.
I think there seems to be a, you know, I mean, even I saw, although there's the weird thing as well, that things that I keep thinking are Revival. So when I was at Latitude Festival this summer, I saw Dexys, as in Dexys Midnight Runners, and Simple Minds, which when I saw on the poster, I assumed were Revival comeback tours, but actually they've both put out about 20 albums each.
Oh,
they've
really?
Just never stopped making music. I'm just aware of their one famous song from the 80s, but they've carried on making music.
Right.
And so I think that's that tastes and obviously 80s as a feel is a bit in music and in, you know, that the feel of 80s music is sort of back again a little bit, you know, synths and drum machines and stuff like that, and I think that probably helps a band like Dexys Midnight or Simple Minds or someone like that get a little bit more of a bump bit of a bump in their sort of popularity.
Absolutely,
because their flavour is in almost,
and they're still going.
I saw Simple Minds actually saw the whole set of Simple Minds at Latitude. I thought they were a really good band. I knew two songs,
right?
But I thought they were really good performing. You know, it's a really good performance, and obviously not technically a comeback, but it felt like it to me, not like it to the 50-year-old men either side of me. Obviously, I realise we're probably forgetting the biggest one, which is sort of a comeback, and not
music,
quite, but it's music, which is Blur.
Well, yeah,
who, of course,
true.
I think he's probably technically, you know, they haven't...
That's a funny one, though, because it's very patchy.
Yeah, because obviously they've done bits and pieces, and Graham and Damon performed at the Enemy Awards 3 years ago, two years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And then obviously nothing, and then obviously this summer and last summer they've done big gigs.
Yeah, we started off with them playing Glastonbury.
Yeah, and they did Hyde Park
in the summer.
This summer, which I went to, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was all right.
I've heard continuing reports from Hyde Park about the volume. It's not just a blur.
No,
so people don't know. If you go to a gig at Hyde Park, I haven't been to one actually, but unless you're really near the front, you can't hear a fucking word that's going on.
I saw The bands that I saw, because I was there, for, it was the Olympics closing ceremony gig that I was there for, and there was Blur, and before them was The Specials, and before them was New Order, and before them was, I think, Two Door Cinema Club, who I didn't get there in time for.
Oh, they're really good.
They're good,
I really love Two Door Cinema Club.
Anyway, so yeah, so they were there. So New Order there, who I know New Order, and I'm not a big fan of massively, and because that's not really my thing. But they were all right, but they were quiet. Did very strange. It's not a cover technically, although is it of Love Tears Apart? Did a very strange version of it, which obviously, as much as I don't really care about
Joy Division,
it's still a fucking tune, yes, isn't it? Like, there's no getting away from that. But it was really odd. It was like more 80s. Version of it, which is very strange. Specials, who were just old men growing old disgracefully, were great. Yeah. And then Blur, yeah, they were really good, and they did all their songs the way you want to hear them live.
Yeah.
But if I'd been stood about 50 feet closer, like if I'd been stood on stage, I'd have probably been a bit happier. But where we were, there was also an hour's queue for the bar.
Really?
Like someone genuinely, one of the friend that I was with, genuinely queued at the bar for an hour. Which was a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Luckily, she wasn't a Specials fan, because that's what she missed all of.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah. So we sent her, you go, you don't have Specials, you can go and wait for an hour.
Yeah, so there's revivals away from music in some ways. I mean, one of the big ones that comes to my mind is Doctor Who.
Uh-huh.
In terms of being a massive revival. Now, revivals in music, I think, tend to be quite about all about living in nostalgia. And sort of,
Oh, this band were great. Yeah.
Whereas Doctor Who is very much is a revival / reinvention.
Yeah.
Which has obviously sort of gripped people and people still really, really,
really. I do think that some of the early Russell T Davies series were a little bit wallowy. A little bit nostalgia wallowy. Yes, you know, you updated it, but they were a little bit, oh, Doctor Who was so much
what
fun.
What old enemy's going to come back in this series?
Whereas Stephen Moffat is more of the opinion of, you've got to make it a show for now, I think, as a showrunner.
Yes.
But I've just been, I know that you don't, have you watched it? Because you
I'm two episodes behind Doctor Who.
Okay, because you're not, obviously, up until now, you weren't a regular watcher.
I'm not,
You watched specials occasionally.
It wasn't really until Matt Smith that I got really into Doctor Who. And I'm not by no means am I a diehard fan.
Yeah.
But I will watch it and I will enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. But I have absolutely loved this series so far.
Really?
I think it's been...
Have you? Even the dinosaur episode, which was horrendous.
I loved it.
It was awful.
What did you hate about it?
All premise, no plot.
Oh, I didn't care. I loved it. No. I just thought it was brilliant. The reason that I loved it for me is because last season, as epic as it was, as epic as it was just a bit too... You know, big, massive story over the
whole
thing.
And
not enough thing. Whereas I'm actually loving, you know, he said for the first 6 episodes of this series, they're literally like monster movies of the week. And he said he's just sort of throwing it out the window and doing individual movies.
Which makes sense.
I like that he's done that.
I did hear a really funny story about the guy who wrote the dinosaurs in space episode.
Yeah. So Stephen Moffat, regardless of your thought on the episode, how good is the title Dinosaurs on the Spaceship?
Well, is that Dinosaur? is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, yeah. Dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to the point where so Stephen Moffat sort of knows what these stories are going to be and then ask writers to write them.
Yeah.
And he asked the guy to write the Dinosaurs in Space one, and there was a pause, and the guy just went, "Can the Doctor ride a Triceratops?" I like that.
That's really good. Yeah. That's good. The most recent episode, which obviously depends on you listen to this.
Black Cubes.
Yeah, really good. Really liked it a lot. And the previous one, The Town Called Mercy, which is the Wild West one. Anyway, there must be a million Doctor Who podcasts out there.
Oh, God.
We should probably get off this
topic. Let's move away from Doctor Who.
But, because the thing I was going to say is the other thing that it makes me think of is movies such as Indiana Jones 4, Die Hard 4.
Yeah, I don't have as much of a problem with Indiana Jones as a comeback. It was purely like, it was just for nostalgia. And I almost get the impression that they obviously knew it was going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I genuinely don't think Spielberg would have got involved with it unless he was like, he knew that people really wanted it.
Yeah, that's true. There is an interview with him saying that when they were, just after it came out, there's an interview where he said, I wasn't that bothered for doing it, he said, but George and Harrison, George Lucas, who's the writer and producer, and Harrison Ford, really wanted to do it, and so I was sort of swept along.
Mm.
And that is, because we've got differing opinions on the fourth Indiana Jones film, and that's why I don't like it.
Mm.
It's because that Steven Spielberg has got to care.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's not going to make a good Spielberg movie. Which is why I didn't like War Horse either. Because it was just too... I
didn't like Warhorse because I just didn't. I don't really give a shit about horses.
No, yeah, there is that as well.
Whereas I spent that entire film going, why are we caring about this horse and not caring about all the people who are
dying?
That's
very true. Whereas I don't know if you've seen the trailer for Lincoln, which is his next film, starring Daniel Day-Lewis as Abraham Lincoln. Bring it on. But the trailer is almost exactly the same as Warhorse. It's soft focus, fades, soppy music, and a voiceover. However, it just looks a world away. It feels a world away.
Because
you just feel that he really cares about doing that. You know, he's been trying to make this film for like 15 years.
Really?
Liam Neeson was originally attached and then dropped out because he thought he got too old and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it looks great. It looks really good. Despite the fact that the trailer could almost, if you shut your eyes and there was a slightly different voiceover, it could be the trailer for Warhorse or something. Yeah, just a whinny on it. But yeah, but I think there is definitely, at the moment, in films, the idea that, not that originality is sin, but that, you know, we can build on something, be it cynically or not, you know, be it cynical, money-making purely, or people genuinely want to do a new story. You know, they're shooting Die Hard 5 at the moment.
Really?
Goodness. Which has just got to the point where Die Hard 4 was fine. I don't have a problem with Die Hard 4, but the fact that there was no blood and no sign of motherfucker just suggests to me that actually what they wanted to do was make it a 12A rating so that everyone could see it and spend their money on it.
As opposed to
the first Die Hards, which are all, I think, 18, 18, 15 rated, with swearing and shooting and...
When they were in pre-production for Die Hard 4, it wasn't going to be a Die Hard film. It was a completely its own little film. And then it sort of got bombarded with people saying, this should be like the next Die Hard film instead. And then it became a Die Hard film.
Also, I really resent the fact that over here we got it called Die Hard 4.0. And America got Live Free or Die Hard, which that's a proper Die Hard title.
Yeah.
Die Hard, Die Harder, With a Vengeance, Live Free or.
Yeah.
4.0, bollocks. I don't know what 5's scheduled title is to be, but I hope it... Oh, I do know. A Good Day to Die Hard.
Nice! That's so... They're such manly names, aren't they? Just like... It's like Die Hard with your cock out. You know what I mean? It's just anything like that.
Die Hard with your hard cock.
Hey, that's good. That
That's the sixth one. That might be the porn.
Yeah.
The...
I actually think, I think you're right. There tends to be this case of sort of trying to, cynically or not, end up with these old characters that we all know and then people trying to put original stories in there. I don't see that as a problem.
No,
like, look at superhero films. Look at the Dark Knight trilogy that Chris Nolan's done. I mean, those were brilliantly made stories which happen to use a character that everyone knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even, you know, I mean, I know perhaps post-Avengers we may think that superhero films are now on the decline with Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Captain America 2. But they, I mean, Captain America, right, is, I went in there expecting it to be really shit. It's brilliant.
It's just great fun. It's just brilliant for a couple of hours.
It's a really, really good film. It's a really good, and I like the story. I think the it's not obviously a superhero that particularly works outside of America, but hey, the film's brilliant.
Yeah, and they made it work. The way it works for me as well is the thing that you have to think about is, and I'm definitely being hypocritical in saying this, is that if you're sort of going to have a go at a cynical Indiana Jones 4, Die Hard 4, I can't think of any of the examples, but there must be fucking thousands.
Final Destination 5.
And things like that. Then I should also be upset that they keep remaking Sherlock. Because it's sort of the same thing, you know. It's there, the stories have existed forever, the characters are there.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there are currently, you know, two massive franchises, vastly different in their take on the character, both hugely successful.
And about to be a third.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, and I can't be hypocritical, because, you know, I love the TV series, is fucking magnificent.
Yes.
And I have enjoyed the two films. I've sat and just been quite happy to sit there and watch the two films.
Absolutely.
And it's definitely hypocritical of me to pick and choose. But then I suppose you've got to.
I think in a way that's a skill, that's quite a hard skill to have, which is having originality with characters that everyone knows.
Yes, absolutely.
Rather than having originality with characters that no one knows.
Yeah, you've got a completely blank canvas.
But everyone goes in with their preconceived images and thoughts and processes of what those characters are like.
That's very true.
You have to try and get something original out of it. That's hard.
Yeah, no, that's
why the Doctor's so interesting.
Because they get to reinvent it with new acts and things like that. Yeah, and the companion makes such a difference.
Mm.
Oh, sad for Saturday.
I'm a bit bored of her now. All I can think, right, you know, whenever she goes through shit and she moans at Rory, right?
Yeah.
All I can think of is, He waited for 1,000 years for you.
I think.
Quit your moaning.
I think in this, the most recent episode that you've not seen yet, I'm certain, even this one or the one before, it gets referenced.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Sure she whinges and he talks about it.
Yeah. It's like yeah. It's like when that episode where she grew older and she had been waiting there for 7 years. And the whole point is that the episode, she's really pissed off that she'd waited 7 years for them to come back and find her. It's like, fuck off, bitch. He'd been there. He waited outside as a Roman for 1,000 years.
Just get Rory's way fucking nicer than him. That's all that is.
I really like
good
Rory.
Lad.
Yeah, he's a good lad.
Maybe he should just be the assistant.
Well, that's a bit... Well, it's always that thing, isn't it? Will there ever be the Doctor who is female? We've gone to Doctor Who again.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the big thing is at the moment we're on the 11th Doctor. And they could only regenerate.
No, they've tweaked it. So.
Oh yeah, they have. Of course, they have.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
that no we're longer fine. Exists in the canon.
Of course,
the
it
idea
is.
That he's the last and final Doctor. Anyway, right. Okay. So, what about what things should come back?
What things should come back?
Yeah, oh, that's quite anything.
I think it's sort of the question of what would be a good idea to update.
I've got one that immediately comes to mind.
Go on.
Timeout Chunky. Do you remember them? So when Kit Kats went chunky and everyone like fell in love with it, every other brand of chocolate tried to sort of come do their own version.
Right.
And Time Out brought a Time Out Chunky. I love a good Time Out. And
chunky, a chunky one.
Chunky one is better.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was amazing. And I wish they came back. Sorry, that's one of those things which is just true. But
that's really good.
Not at all film or awesome music-y.
I think the thing that jumps to mind for me, or the idea, two things. One, there's currently a Godzilla film in the making. And obviously the last one, the big Michael Broderick starring Michael Broderick and Jean Reno, it's a pretty awful film.
Yes.
Like, I will still watch it because I just love all things Godzilla. I'm a bit of a Godzilla obsessive, yeah. And yeah, I'd still watch it, but it's pretty awful and nothing compared to the Japanese originals. However, the new one is being made by the guy that made Monsters. Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, but he made a film really, really recently which was shit.
No, he's not had anything out.
Oh. I'm getting mixed up then. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. No, so he's got that, this is his next film, which he's making in exactly the same way that he made Monsters. Minimal crew, doing most of the special effects himself on a laptop.
Nice.
Apparently, I've not seen the footage, but he showed footage at Comic-Con, like a 3-minute trailer that was sort of just a destroyed New York, and then a big claw and a roar. It completely blew people away. But I love that. And this brings me on to my second point, which is Sam Pegg and Edgar Wright, in an interview, once said that they would love to make a genuinely good sequel to an awful first film. To use the same characters and move them on and make a really good film based on something that was fucking awful, like a really bad action film
or a bad cop
drama the first time round.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like with Godzilla, it's like, yes, he's got to get rid of all this preconception of this awful, massive Hollywood film. Mm. And he's going about it completely the right way by doing it really minimal.
Yeah.
You know, and shooting it little and just setting it somewhere.
I love the idea of making a good sequel to a shit film.
A good sequel to a shit film, yeah. What would you do? What would I've not thought about this enough.
No. I'm trying to think of some really shit films. Although shit films which have something there.
Yeah, absolutely. You need like what you want is a shit film that's just got like one really good character that you could sort of bring across.
Yeah.
Something that always sticks out in my mind is a film called The Core.
Okay.
Which stars Aaron Eckhart, Hilary Swank, Stanley Tucci. Really good actors, but it's a film about driving to the centre of the earth in a big thing that looks like a tube train,
right?
To restart the centre of the earth,
yeah.
And it's just a very standard bad action film.
Okay.
However, Stanley, I never know how to say his surname.
Kubrick?
No, Tucci.
Oh, all right.
Stanley.
I don't know why I went.
I'd already said his name. His character is brilliant. He's the most misanthropic, whinging, slimy, sleazy, tries to get out of everything.
Yeah.
Ultimately, sacrifices himself. But I'd love to make a sequel or a prequel with just his character as like, I think he's an he's a scientist or an engineer or something like that. And I'd like to do a film that was like the days before.
I tell you what, someone's just popped into my head, The Lies and Times of Tristram Shandy.
Do you not like the film?
Well, the
Cock and Bull Story.
But the film is about the making of the film.
Oh, I see. But you want a genuine adaptation of the book.
Yes.
Now, the problem for me is that I think A Cock and Bull Story is the closest it's actually possible to make an adaptation of the book, because the book is so much nonsense and so inward.
Terry Gilliam, though, would do a good job
with
that.
Oh, he would, wouldn't he, actually?
Yeah, he really would.
He's currently making... I can't remember. But his next plan is he wants to go back and do Don Quixote. which he tried to make.
Oh yeah, I've heard
20 years ago.
I watched Lost in the Mansion for the first time.
It's a great documentary.
It's an amazing documentary for a film that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
just and like I watched the documentary about Apocalypse Now.
Oh yeah,
which again I think is actually better than the film.
Yeah, yeah. Lost in La Mancha, which is the film. If anyone's seen this, so Terry Gilliam tried to make a film called The Man of La Mancha, which was about Johnny Depp starring as a salesman who went back in time and accidentally got mistaken for being
Don Quixote.
Pancho.
Who was Don Quixote then?
It was an old French actor who was playing Don Quixote. He was a big French actor. And it was just, yeah, so, and then if you watch the documentary, they film for about 3 weeks maybe, and then they're filming in Spain and they get flooded. The lead actor gets in back injury, can't be on a horse anymore, which he spends the entire film. He doesn't work with the Spanish crew because no one speaks English. It's a brilliant film about a film not getting made, but apparently he wants to go back and try and do it again.
Right.
And try and do it.
Well,
yeah.
Well, managed to make it.
You've actually managed to make it.
Yeah,
however, the film that Johnny Depp's currently making is an adaptation of The Lone Ranger, which he's starring as Tonto.
With Tim Burton and...
directed by Gore Verbinski.
Oh, okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
yeah.
There's a perfect example.
Jack Sparrow
make
film.
An amazing Pirates of the Caribbean.
Do you remember, when the fourth one came out,
yeah.
which was directed by... Oh, it wasn't Gore Verbinski, it was the guy that directed Chicago and Nine.
No idea.
Who's... I can't remember his name, but he was brought on as a director. And all the buzz was about it was, yes, we're finally going to get a Jack Sparrow film. And it was exactly the same as the other two.
Yeah.
Well, three. The first one's really great, but the second two are pretty awful.
Yeah.
But it was just... I don't understand how they don't understand that all you need to do is show me Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow for 2 hours and I'll be the happiest man on earth. Exactly the same as when, with my nieces and nephews, I've had to watch the Ice Age films. I just want to see the little
scrap.
For no, I want to see him in a cartoon series.
Well, they have done there, amazing shorts where it's just him.
Okay, well, that's what I want. I want like an hour's worth of 5 minute shorts of just him.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I really want.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Jack Sparrow's a good shout, actually.
That's a really
do you like
good.
A small indie drama about his early days? In Tortuga.
Yeah, and it starts with him being like really kind of coherent.
Yeah,
like,
before he discovers rum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Prostitution.
Yeah, yeah.
Piracy.
Exactly. That would be good. The transformation of Jack Sparrow, that would be good.
And that's a bit too close to an origin story for my liking.
Oh, I love a good origin story.
Yeah, well, I don't... See, the
best superhero films, the origin stories, because that's the interesting thing. It's not that... I still like superhero films, but once they're a superhero, it doesn't matter.
That's very
it's
true,
It's way
actually,
more
yeah.
interesting transition to go from a normal human being to being a superhero.
It's
that's
true.
That's what I love.
However,
that's why Batman Begins is the best one of the three.
I do agree in principle, and I think that's true of superhero films. However, when I think of some of the films that I love the most, Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
Back to the Futures, James Bond's on the whole... They appear on screen. Indiana Jones in the first film is literally there within 3 minutes. He's there as Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And I think it's a weird thing. I think that people are scared. And also it's the thing that Christopher Nolan has done brilliantly. He did brilliantly in The Dark Knight, and let me down in a little bit in The Dark Knight Rises, which was in The Dark Knight, the Joker was just the fucking Joker.
Yeah, he was
literally
just there.
Literally was just there.
There
boom,
was no origin for him being there.
Gone. And although they sort of needed it for Bane because it was meant to mirror Batman,
yeah.
that was the one thing that... Although, ultimately, it wasn't actually Bane that you were seeing. It was fucking... Oh, spoiler alert. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'll actually say it out loud.
No.
I will say it out loud. It's fucking...
It's been out months.
Natalia,
it's not on Tinder anymore.
What's her name? Miranda Tate. Rajal. Talia al Ghul.
Yeah.
It was actually her. That I'm thinking about that recently, that really annoyed me.
Did it?
Well, I just realised that I was sort of watching the film, thinking, oh, there's Bane, oh, there's... Oh, you are! It's not even Bane! It's just some girl beating people up. You're really upset.
Yeah.
Still
no,
good. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. I think you certainly need it. Spider-Man...
Although Spider-Man
2 is brilliant,
brilliant,
but he's still dealing with it. He's only really Spider-Man. You know, it's that thing of they're only really the superhero by the end.
Yeah.
The good thing about Spider-Man is that although, you know, Batman, Superman and the others have got inner angst,
yeah.
Spider-Man's, you know, Stan Lee's all said that when he created Spider-Man, it was his idea to create someone who genuinely had to live in real world problems.
Mm.
He was a poor college student living in New York that couldn't afford to do anything, wanted to be a photographer but had to deliver pizzas.
Mm.
And that's why Spider-Man 2 is really good.
Yeah.
It's because you're almost still dealing with the origin side of it.
Yeah.
You're still dealing with him trying to get his pictures in the paper
and
stuff like that.
Yeah, because he's not a superhero
yeah.
the whole time.
Whereas the difference is that Batman has just got dead
parents.
Yeah,
yeah,
but he's ultimately really rich and stuff like
yeah.
that. You know, he's just sort of avenging.
And I must admit, I go with Reginald D. Hunter when it comes to Batman. He argues that that Batman is a capitalist wet dream because he because essentially, as opposed to other superheroes, he goes through something traumatic, has loads and loads of money to deal with it, and instead of, and so with that money and with that power, what does he do? He doesn't go after corporate crime. He doesn't go after people with the billions of pounds. He goes after thugs on the street, and he goes like, and he goes like, Batman's a capitalist wet dream. Fuck Batman. Just like, which I really like.
It's true. Yeah, he just keeps the money for himself.
Yeah, and he just gets stuff, yeah, and he just goes after people in poverty who have struggled to get to that level of life. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by your playing as it's fading up. That's the end of the podcast.
We didn't really come to a point for once, did we?
No, we didn't. What's the point?
We also weren't funny for two...
Fuck Batman.
Fuck Batman.
Yeah, fuck Batman.
That's the title. We also haven't been funny for two podcasts. We've been interesting. It's because we're dealing with the sitcom thing. We're trying to, you know... I'm going to stop playing because we're going to keep talking.
Right, God.
It's because... I think it's because we're both worrying about a week today.
Yeah.
Which is when we're going to have to be
funny. That? Should we talk about that in the next podcast?
I think the next podcast is definitely going to be me and you talking about...
That.
Terror.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do that. I'll pick the ukulele back up then. So it'll be a harmonium next time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Oh, it's you get to end.
I get to, okay, well, thank you very much for listening. Next week will be a bit better, we promise. Next time. See you later. Bye-bye.